So we are giving thanks to God today on this Memorial Day weekend. I woke up yesterday. I don't know if any of you had this experience. I woke up yesterday and I looked outside and I thought, God must know how some of us have been feeling kind of shut in and blue, and gave us this amazing day to walk outside and just breathe in some fresh air and realize that in this creation that God made, He is with us. I'm not sure, to be honest, how that theological thought extends into the storms last night, but I hope that many of you have had a chance or will have a chance to get outside and enjoy, soak in a little sunshine this Memorial Day weekend. We are in a sermon series here at Clay Church called We Are Family. 1 John 3:1 says this: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." We are children of God. But what does that mean? Like, what difference does it make that we are children of God? Does it change anything about who we are and how we live? And those are the questions that we are exploring in the midst of this sermon series. Last week, we were blessed to hear from our confirmation students. And they shared, and I'm so grateful for them of submitting those videos, and they shared how Scripture and their faith values have shaped their lives and what they expect out of their faith and how it shapes their life. I'm thankful for Desi Ash's work with them. She's our director of Firehouse Youth Ministries, and for her message last week. If you missed it, Desi invited us last week to think about the values at the core of our faith, and more specifically, to think about how those values shape our decisions. How do the values of our faith shape how we live and what we decide in each and every moment? Today, we're going to reflect on a part of that thought. How we live reflects what we believe. As we do that, would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts, Lord, and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you know the movie Saving Private Ryan? It came out in the 1990s. For those who maybe haven't seen it, it was based on a true story of four brothers who fought in World War II. And it was believed that three of the brothers had died, and so there were efforts to bring the fourth brother home so that a family didn't lose all four children. The movie is fiction. It's loosely based on that story, and it tells the tale of a platoon that was sent out to find the fourth brother. For those of you who have seen it, you may have had a similar reaction. There are scenes from Saving Private Ryan that I cannot forget even to this day. Near the beginning of the movie, it shows the invasion of the beaches at Normandy. And it's shown with detail and realism that at the time it was said that it was one of the most realistic depictions of war ever made in the movies, one of the most graphic portrayals ever. I literally had nightmares for 2 or 3 weeks after I saw the movie. And then at the end of the movie, the fourth brother is now an old man, and he has returned to the beaches of Normandy. He's returned to Normandy, and he's at the graves of those who came to save him, who gave their lives to save him. And he stands at the grave of the commander who led the platoon to save his life, who literally gave his life. And he says to his wife through tears, says, "Was I worthy of their sacrifice? Was I worthy of their sacrifice?" As you can tell, I still tear up to this day just thinking about that line. On Memorial Day weekend, I can't help but think of those scenes from the movie as I give thanks for those who have fought and given their lives to preserve freedom and liberate the oppressed. Right? This Memorial Day weekend, we give thanks for those who are willing to make the greatest sacrifice, to give their lives to keep the world free from tyranny and evil. We give thanks for these heroes. You know, we've heard a lot of stories in the last few weeks about heroes, modern day heroes. Obviously, with Memorial Day coming up, we've heard the stories of those who have given their lives in the armed services. At the same time, we've also been thanking the heroes who serve in the medical field and in caring services. We've given thanks for everyday heroes, those who just keep showing up for work at the grocery stores even though they're at risk, and truck drivers who've stuck with it in these times, and for teachers who found a way to lead our kids. Have you ever, or do you ever stop to think about what makes a hero? Like, we talk about heroes all the time, but do we ever just pause and think, what makes somebody a hero? Because, and we've talked about this before here at Clay Church, even in superhero movies, what makes the superhero a superhero is not their superpower. It's not the power that makes them. In fact, if you think about it, sometimes superpowers make supervillains as well. So it isn't the superpower that makes a hero. So what does make a hero? What makes a hero is the willingness to sacrifice for someone else. That's what makes a hero. Sometimes it's sacrificing a way of life to protect or help someone else. Sometimes it's literally giving one's life. But you see, a sacrifice, it doesn't require some kind of special gift or a unique position or a superpower. Sacrifice, which literally means to make holy, it's a literal meaning of the word sacrifice. It's simply giving of one's life for others, right? Which means anybody can be a hero, because anyone can choose a life of sacrifice. And there's more to this, right? Sacrifice is the hallmark of the family of God. Let me say that again and invite us to just hang on to this thought. Sacrifice is the hallmark of the family of God. From the teachings of Jesus to the letters of Paul, Scripture calls God's family, calls us as brothers and sisters in Christ to live a life of sacrifice. Paul writes this to the church in Philippi. If you want to follow along, you can turn in your Bibles or your Bible app. We're going to read Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes this, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Sacrifice, Paul writes, is my invitation to you. And then he goes on, he says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Christ's sacrifice, Paul says, is our model. But he's not done yet. He keeps going. And being found in appearance as a man, he, Christ, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross. Sacrifice, Paul highlights. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus gave his life for you, for us, to know the power and depth of God's love. Right? Sacrifice is the foundational story of who we are as a family. Sacrifice is how we know the power, the truth of God's love. Now, maybe you've heard a sermon on sacrifice before, or you've thought about sacrifice, and when you hear conversations about Christ giving his life for us, we sometimes jump to this conversation: would I be willing to actually give my life for someone else? Right? In the whole conversation, it feels kind of hypothetical because most of us don't find ourselves in that moment of decision. And many of us, we say that we would give up our lives for our children, and we mean it, but even that, we don't really know what that would look like. And the thing about all that conversation, all that hypothetical, is I think when we think of sacrifice only in terms of life and death, it's really easy to miss a more important question. Because living a life of sacrifice, it's not just about literal life and death. Really, living a life of sacrifice as a follower of Jesus is about a single important question: who are you living for? Who are you giving your life for? Yourself? Others? Jesus? I think a life of sacrifice is modeled as our answer to that question: who are you living for? In Matthew's gospel, we hear that John and James want to know if they can be at the right and left hand of Jesus. And it's in Matthew chapter 25, if you want to go there. Starting at verse 26, we hear this story first of James and John, and essentially they've asked if they can sit at Jesus' right and left hand. They're worried about themselves, right? They're worried about their position in the kingdom to come. And it sets off, right, their worry. It sets off this whole conflict among the disciples. First, they're asking about that, and then the disciples are grumbling because probably they all want to know about their place in the world. And this is what happens next in verse 26. It says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus says to his followers, if you are living for yourselves, for status and place, you don't get it. You've missed what I'm here to show you. He says, those who want to follow me, those who want to know the love of God, those who want to see that love spread into the world, to share this love that I bring, they will give their lives first to God and to others. God's glory, Jesus says, comes not in place and position, but in sacrifice. Love, Jesus says, is expressed in sacrifice. The letter of John, it draws on Jesus' own words. Jesus would later tell his followers that there's no greater love than laying down one's life for his friends. And the letter of John, then expressing this to the church later, says, this is how we know what love is. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Then John goes on and he says what it means to lay down one's life, to sacrifice. This is what the letter says in verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, family of God, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Sacrifice, Scripture says, is living a life in service to others, meeting the needs of others, giving of ourselves to meet the needs of others. Thomas Reeves was a historian, professor at the University of Wisconsin, Parkside, and he's written books on both modern history and religion. I came across this quote from him in an article, and it disturbed me enough that after I read the article, I went back and I read the quote again. The quote says this. It says, Christianity in modern America is in large part innocuous. It tends to be easy, upbeat, convenient, and compatible. It does not require self-sacrifice, discipline, humility, an otherworldly outlook, a zeal for souls, a fear as well as a love of God. I read that article and I wanted to say he's wrong. That doesn't describe Christianity today. But then I keep having these questions, right? Do we, the family of God, Clay Church, or if we think about the church in our country, do we live our lives for God first? Or do we fit God into our lives where it is convenient for us? Do we serve wherever and whenever the Spirit leads? Or do we want to fit our service to the world into our schedule somehow when it fits for us? Do we live our lives for others first? Or do we take care of ourselves first and then give the leftovers of what we have, of our time, of our resources to others? And are we willing to sacrifice anything for Jesus? Anything for Jesus? Or do we really only want to meet Jesus on our terms? Because you see, I think our culture asks us a question. It invites us to live by a question. And the question our culture teaches is, what's in it for me? And I think we live that way without even thinking about it. Right? As I make a decision, I think, how will this make my life better? What's in it for me? As I am involved in a church community, I think we ask, what am I getting out of this? What am I getting out of the sermons? What am I getting out of the music? What am I getting out of the community? What's in it for me? As I develop relationships, I think culture says and teaches me to ask, am I growing in this relationship? Am I growing in this relationship? What's in it for me? And you see, the core question of the family of God, however, should be very different than this cultural question. As followers of Jesus, we're invited to ask, what's in it for others? What's in it for others? And these questions become important as we navigate what's a really complicated world today of wearing masks or not wearing masks, of whether something opens or doesn't open, of political positions of life and community. I think we need to ask, what question is driving you? What's in it for me? Or what's in it for others? Am I worried about me and my rights and my way? Or am I willing to make some sacrifices to protect and uplift and to care for others? Right? And Jesus doesn't ask his followers to live a life of sacrifice at the expense of their own life or joy. Jesus says, love your neighbors as yourself. He invites his followers to find abundant life in sacrifice. Right? He's not asking them to give away until nothing's left. He's inviting them to give into a community where they too will be supported to experience through the gift of a community making sacrifices for one another and the world, where all experience the transforming power and love of God. And they all experience it by offering their whole lives to God. We've had a string of losses at Clay Church these past few weeks. A long string of losses these past few weeks. As I think about them, I'm struck by how many had really long, fruitful marriages. 40 years and 50 years and 50 plus years and almost 60 years, as I reflect on just a few of them. And as we've celebrated those lives, I've asked the families and I've pondered myself, what was the key to those long marriages and those deep celebrations of family? And the answer is sacrifice. At the heart of a long, fruitful marriage, or for that matter, at the heart of any long and fruitful relationship is sacrifice. Giving one's time, loving when loving is really hard. Giving up on having one's way so that spouse or children are happy and can experience joy. Giving up that last cookie or that extra piece of steak. That one's personal. Sometimes giving up on dreams of one partner so the other can pursue his or her dreams. Right? And in those moments of sacrifice, it's got to be hard. It had to be hard, but in the span of relationship, each and every sacrifice leads to deeper and deeper experiences of love and goodness, particularly when both in the relationship are willing to make those sacrifices. Right at the heart of a strong family, as we talk about what it means to be God's family, we can talk about just what it means to be family. At the heart, the very heart of a strong family is the gift of sacrifice. I think of that old man in Saving Private Ryan standing at the grave of the one who gave his life. It was a cross. He was standing at the cross of the one who gave his life so that he could live, and asking, was I worthy of that sacrifice? Yes, is the answer. You don't have to earn this gift that Jesus gave for you. Jesus died on a cross for you, for us, for all of us, for everyone. Jesus died on a cross, made the ultimate sacrifice so that we would know the power and extent of God's love. And then Jesus offered an invitation. You're invited, and we're invited to experience that same gift as we offer ourselves, as we offer our lives to God. Because there is no greater feeling. There is no greater joy, no greater sense of love than knowing that our sacrifices, our willingness to give of ourselves to God and through God to others, is making a mark and blessing the lives of others, helping them to catch a glimpse, to know a little bit more of the love of Jesus Christ. There is no greater gift than the gift of sacrifice. Because sacrifice shows the love of God to others. As we navigate the days ahead, I just pray that we may ask together, what's in this decision, this act, this step forward for others? What is in this decision that I'm making today? What is in this act that I'm about to do? What is in this step I'm about to take? What is in it for others? And may we, in so doing, experience again and again the transforming love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus paid it all. Sacrificed himself on the cross that we might know the fullest extent of your love. And God, it's hard to think about sacrifice. But we recognize in that gift that we are invited to give our lives as a blessing to the world and in so be blessed ourselves. So God, show us in our lives the way to follow you. Give us the courage and the faith and the strength to give our lives to you, and bless us in our sacrifice that we may know the full extent of your love in Jesus Christ, and watch as your love transforms our lives and others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.